I do think that being able to work for yourself and have your own time and everything is much more fulfilling of a life than, you know, working and doing stuff for in a job that you don't really care about.
Hey, welcome to the Current Mood podcast. This is your host, Jacqueline Marie. Current Mood is a series exploring self-care techniques, mental models, and core patterns propelling our increasingly digital lives. Through conversations with founders, entrepreneurs, educators, and executives across creative disciplines, I get a chance to learn about things that work for people in their everyday lives. In this next conversation, I got a chance to sit down with Shauna X, a Brooklyn-based artist and visual director. We got to talk about how Shauna transitioned into being a full-time artist in New York City, because let's be real, that's not easy. What navigating mental health as a new mother and creative looks like, and how social media has affected the art world. We had a super insightful chat. I'm here with Shauna X. And wait, do you go by Shauna X, or is it just like, who are you?
My artist name is Shauna X.
Okay, what's your human name?
Shauna. Oh.
Cool. What do your friends call you?
Shauna.
What does your mom call you?
Shao Xia.
Sick.
Yeah. That's what the X actually is.
Oh.
For. It's okay. My Chinese name.
Oh, sweet.
It's not some random letter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought I was like, oh.
It's an homage to my Chinese name.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it's X-I-A-Y-U-N. It means summer, because I was born in the summer. And grass, because it's the type of grass that grows from concrete. And Ooh. The deeper representation of that is that it means perseverance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. It wasn't easy for that
Some
grass
deep shit.
To grow.
Yes.
Whoa.
In the concrete.
In the concrete jungle. So does your mom remind you of that all the
no.
time?
No. Not but really.
I mean, this is what I named you.
My grandpa named me, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He's a professor in math, but he's very, like, poetic.
Mm.
So that's what that was represented.
Do you get it from your grandpa?
No, not at all. He actually hated every single, like, when I lived with him when I was 5 to 7, he... Mm-hmm. Banned me from all illustration and all cartoons.
What?
Because he wanted me to focus on academia.
He banned you from consuming art, basically?
Yeah.
Why is that?
So I couldn't have picture books at home.
Whoa.
And I remember, like, basically taking some of this allowance I had and secretly buying one. And it was, like, my prized possession.
What was it?
I don't remember. It was like a princess. It was like a like the little match girl or something like that.
Yeah.
It was a picture book. And then I remember in the middle of class, I was really proud of this book and I threw it at a classmate to give it to her, show her.
Oh.
And my teacher saw it and got pissed and ripped it up.
Oh,
that was
no.
my tragic story.
Oh my God, it's so tragic. Is that why you're an artist?
Yes. however, I think that because he banned me from, not banned, but just, like, restricted my consumption of, you know, illustration, I had a much stronger imagination looking back.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
So when did you, like, finally bring that curiosity of art into, like, the rest of your life?
I mean, I definitely remember it started there. And I would always, I read a lot. I consumed a lot of literature, you know, so it wasn't necessarily in graphic form. It was in verb.
Story.
Yeah. And words. And it was in Chinese, actually. I mean, this is when I was in China.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you live in China?
I lived in China until I was 7.
Oh, really? Yeah. And then you moved to the Pacific Northwest?
My parents were... Yeah, already in Portland.
Oh.
So I came...
I'm learning so much about you.
I know. And I moved to my parents' home in Portland. And I think all the creative, I guess, all that started without realizing that could be a actual career. I would say. It was just more of a way to communicate my feelings without being very expressive about it outwardly, you know, because I think in like Chinese family households, there's not a lot of emotion. It's very much, you know, straightforward, very strict. I mean, my parents weren't like that as much, but they definitely had problems communicating their emotions.
Yeah.
And I think drawing was a way for me to communicate mine. And so it evolved into more of a hobby than anything else. And it wasn't until, I think, I mean, like a few years ago when I realized I could do something with it.
So what, like, what did you, what kind of work did you do before you were a full-time artist?
So I did advertising for the first 5 years of my career. Any brand, like branding work, art direction, digital art direction, from anything like campaigns for like Kellogg's. This is so embarrassing. It's stuff that you're like, oh, I never want to show this on anything, but it paid the bills. Yeah. And it was like an entry to, you know, the creative world, I guess. So I worked a lot in advertising. I worked a lot in digital design, so prog design as well.
Oh, that's cool.
And just design in general. It didn't really have anything to do with illustration necessarily. It was mostly design related.
What's like the corporate design world like?
Honestly, thinking back, it was really easy. It was very easy because people... It's so much easier to create for a mass audience than creating for a niche audience, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I think it is, at least for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you, there's like very general trends that you just follow and that's it. You know, you're not like coming up with your own ideas or concepts, really. I mean, you are, but you're also not. You're refined, or you're kind of like restricted to these very specific standards.
That's true. Mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's not, it's kind of predictable, which makes it easy. And I think I took that like ease in my life and channeled that frustration with how easy it was into my artwork. So all the stuff I was doing on the side, like all throughout this time, I was doing a lot of side projects such as, you know, group art shows, or I had my own like card company. I sold a lot of greeting cards for a really long time. It's really funny. just did a bunch of stuff on
like Etsy
on the side, at like stores, like everything. It was an intense thing I did on the side just for fun.
What was your greeting card company called?
Just my name. It wasn't anything interesting, but I did some fun cards. I think one of my favorite cards was like a heart in a human anatomically correct heart in a glass bottle. And it said, for you. It was a Valentine's card.
Oh, I love
so
it.
So stupid. Take just, like, dumb things. And this is what I did to deter from how bored I was at work.
Yeah.
But work gave me that space to kind of fuck around.
Yeah, totally.
And so...
And, like, live and pay your rent.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's, so like, for a such long a time. Battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just kept on doing it, just got more and more into, like, design and art world without really realizing it. I didn't even know there was a design art world, really. Like, I wasn't aware of it. I don't know why I was so blinded to that side of the practice. I mean, there's a huge community. I just wasn't aware of it for some reason.
Where is everybody based? I mean, I'm sure everywhere, but, like, does New York have a pretty good...
Yeah, there's a big base here for sure. I mean, in here, there's so many creatives here that there are so many bubbles within design and art, you know?
What's the design art community, like, characteristic, like, main characteristic?
It depends. It depends, because I think you can think about some designers are just, I think the people I've known, you know, they like nice things. You know, they like interesting things. Mm-hmm. It's nice. You go to their house, you're like, oh, yeah, this is a designer. person's home. But it depends on what kind of designer, right? There's like furniture designers, there's graphic designers, there's fashion designers, there's all these types of creatives here. And you go to their homes or like hang out with them and have conversations, and some are more business minded than others. Like, some really are into talking about like the type of work they're working on and like business relations, and some are talking about like philosophy, and you know what I mean? It's just kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of freelance creatives here.
Can you make it as a freelance creative in New York?
Definitely.
Yeah?
100%.
What was like the tipping point for you to like transition into like full-time artist?
I definitely took a long time to get there. Yeah. I always knew I wanted to do something like this. But I think it took, first off, I was dating Colin, who is now my husband, mm-hmm. but at the time he's been a photographer on his own since he started, or since he graduated. So he's never had a real job.
Really?
He just went into photography. Mm-hmm. And I think he owes it to his parents, who are business owners.
Mm.
And so being influenced by him and his, you know, whole thing about starting your own business and like, treating your work as a business was really inspirational. That was one, like one thing that kind of set me towards that direction.
Mm-hmm.
While I was working, I also had an opportunity to be in this commercial for Adobe.
Oh, wow.
Which was like, oh, wait, what is this? And they sent me to New Mexico, and I did this art piece that they turned into like an advertisement for Creative Cloud.
Wow.
And so that was one experience that made me realize, oh, you can actually make money doing this.
Yeah.
And so I started getting a lot of work that was commercial. Now I'm getting more editorial work.
Yeah.
A lot of people just have different trajectories. Like some people who are illustrators, like mostly what I do, they go into the illustration world starting with editorial because that's where you get the best projects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a lot of exposure that way, but they don't pay very well. But, mm-hmm. you know, most of us are okay with it because it's, you know, depends on the publication.
Right.
Like if you get something in New Yorker or New York Times, it's like, cool.
Like, it's like PR for you.
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
But I went in a totally different route where I went in directly into commercial world.
That's pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet. Yeah. I like end up working with a lot of like big clients like Adidas and, you know.
So what does that look like as an artist entering like a commercial project?
Well, I was very familiar with it because I came from the advertising world.
Yeah. Were you like connected through that, or was it just like through your art?
It was through the work I was presenting. And obviously it was because this is 4 or 5 years ago when gradients weren't a trend. I was on like the beginning wave of that aesthetic. And I think that's where I was noticed by these clients who are like, oh, yeah, your work is so positive. Like, you know, so powerful. Like,
what was your work like for us at the time?
Very bright, very similar to what I have now. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of thought behind it. It was just more fun. And I kind of appreciate that. Like, I drew a lot of butts, actually. A lot of butts.
Why?
Because I liked butts.
I love butts, so I'm just kidding.
I remember, actually, right before I started drawing a lot of butts, this is 2012, and I remember drawing, like, a series of hand gestures that represented the vagina, and people were pissed about it.
Really?
It was a time period when I was just drawing things that seemed provocative, which you look at it, you're like, how is this provocative? Not really.
Yeah.
And 4 years ago, it was even that long ago, and I remember people were like, this is so offensive. How can you draw something like this?
Wow.
And now, like, totally different.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, that's crazy. Interesting to see how that's changed.
So, like, how have things changed with Instagram and just, like, having so much content available, and so everyone's basically an artist now, or can be.
Yeah, it's true. Everyone can be a photographer. Everyone can be
a stylist.
everything. Instagram.
Yeah.
it's positive because you have the ability to, you know, showcase and discover talented people and inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that we never had as accessibility as we do now.
Yeah.
You know, without even leaving your bed, basically. But, you know, in some ways that's not the most, it makes it less significant. You know what I mean? Like, you're just, if you find this, like, you know, it's like beautiful replaceable. Photo, or it's something you scroll through, like, the experience of it isn't as you discovering it in a book right. at a random bookstore, right. or you walking to a gallery and discovering this photography. I think the concept of discovery is much less, you know, weighted when you just find it on Instagram and be like, oh, I totally. Like this, and yeah. save it, and then you forget who did that.
And then you see another one just like it.
It's the same with music. It's the same with
yeah.
all consumption.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the positive part is that there is a lot of talent and inspiration out there, but negative part is that it's constantly, you don't even know what you're influenced by. You're consumed by, you're consuming everything. Like, there's so many times when I've create some a piece of work and I'll be like, I feel like I saw this somewhere and I'm inspired by that.
It's somewhere.
And I don't even know where it's coming from. I don't know if it's from my head or I don't know why I like it. I don't know if I, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. where does it come from? Because I've just over-consumed.
I feel you. It's like this, yeah. like a digital, like a trash can almost, your brain becomes. It's like where it goes to yeah. die.
Yeah.
Not and to be so
it's
dark.
The same
but...
with like Wikipedia too. You know, I constantly am on Wikipedia looking at useless information.
Really?
And I don't remember anything. You can tell, you can ask me about something. I'm like, I read about that.
Isn't that mom brain?
I don't remember anything. Well, that's probably part of that too.
Yeah.
Mom brain.
Mom brain. How old is Ren?
Ren is 7 months old.
You guys, Ren is the cutest baby I've ever laid eyes on.
Thanks.
Saying. How did she get good. So cute?
She's a great baby.
So, okay, I mean, just to transition a little bit into, like, artistry and motherhood. Like,
yeah.
What the hell is that?
Like, I'm still figuring that out, for sure.
Did you have some sort of preconceived notion of what it would be before Ram was born?
I definitely didn't want to be a mom because I wanted to keep on going with my career, and I feel like
yeah.
to be good at anything, you can't really assume a different identity, and I think that's totally wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think yeah. like people who I looked up to in terms of artists were not moms,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they worked their lives just making work. And so I think I was afraid to have a child and take me away from that path.
Yeah.
And I mean, now it's totally different because I realize the thing is, it's like you can't have it all, but you start realizing what's actually more important. You like start weighing the different priorities in your life a lot more.
Right. Do you yeah. think that, I mean, I feel like she's brought so much joy into people's
she
lives.
She has,
like,
yeah.
Has yes. that affected your work?
Like, heck yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that has a little bit.
Yeah, it's made me think about things in a much, like, more objective way. I can step back and not be so subjective and personal about things, which is good.
Yeah.
But also be more empathetic and have more compassion
yeah.
at the same time.
Yeah. What's so. Like... What's an example of something you've done recently that was, like, affected by being a mom?
Everything.
Literally my whole
yeah,
life.
Yeah, everything. Everything I do now is affected by it.
Yeah.
Whereas before, if someone asked me about my inspiration, it was a lot more lighthearted. And I do appreciate lightheartedness.
Yeah.
But now it has a lot of...
It's deep.
Yeah. A lot of gravitas.
Got it.
Yeah. And everything. I create. So there's a lot more emotion in it. Whereas before it was more just something funny.
Yeah.
And something easy.
Yeah.
Which I do miss, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I do miss the ease. Now it's a lot of heaviness, but in a positive way. Not like a draggy way.
So do you Okay, for sure. So do you feel like you make art for yourself, or are you making it to have a message to tell people?
I think both.
Yeah.
100% both. Yeah. I don't think you can separate the two. I mean, some people can. I can't.
Yeah.
Because I think when I make work for myself, it speaks to other people because I'm a person. You know, I think a lot of people who make work, when they say they do it for themselves, it's like, yeah, it's true, but you are also a part of the human experience. And I see more of that holistically than I ever have before.
Mm.
It's not so isolated, yeah. You know? And yeah. Like, I think yeah. now being a mother makes you care about community more. It makes you care about unity and being human. What is that like? Like, you know, I used to think I was very special. And now it's like,
you are special.
I am special, but everyone is special. Yeah. So in the past, I would take that as, oh, that means I'm ordinary mm. and see it as a negative thing. But now it's like, whoa, that's awesome that all of us are special.
Mm.
You know, wow. like we all are, you know, people that have power within ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. We're all part of that together. So
what are like the top three things you learned being a mother?
Energy is limited.
Yeah.
Like, I think being precious to your energy is really important because people don't recognize how much energy they are giving out sometimes that in like when they don't get it back or something is, I guess, like when they receive a negative energy. No, I don't want to say negative because that's so subjective, but they don't receive like a hot, like a lower energy level. I don't know. Am I explaining
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
They don't realize how much it affects them and takes from them.
Mm.
And I think just being really aware of that, like what you give out and what you, you know,
yeah.
let in is yeah, really yeah. important.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I definitely have recognized. So I don't yeah. just like throw all my energy everywhere. I throw it out when I feel good or I feel...
Well, that makes sense.
Right?
Yeah.
Or I feel like, oh, maybe I want to help out somebody.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, I think having that sort of concept and knowing like where you're placing your time and yeah. effort is really important.
Do you feel like you've like slowed down at all? Not in a bad way, yeah. but just like you're at like a slower pace.
Yeah, I went really hard last year, I think, in terms of work.
Yeah.
And like reflecting on it, I did really great projects last year, but yeah. there's definitely projects that I look back now where I put in a lot of energy and time and effort that I feel like now I'm not really... I didn't think it was worth it, even though it was like a great product. It's yeah. not even just how it turned out. It's how I feel about it. And so slowing down has allowed me to really look at all the things I've done in my life, not just work, but as a person, as a mm-hmm. friend, as a, you know,
yeah.
daughter,
yeah,
as just who I am
mm-hmm.
and really understand where do I need to go more towards, where do I want, like, what part of this experience do I want more for myself?
Mm-hmm.
And slowing down is important for that.
Yeah.
And I slowed down a lot this year.
Yeah.
And actually, in the past, when I would talk about slowing down, I hated it so much because I think in New York, you know, work is what defines you and gives you value, and slowing down means that you don't have value. Now I'm kind of like, oh, actually, it's great. I'm not working that much this year. Everyone asks me that. Everyone yeah. I meet are like, what are you working on? I'm like, not much.
I'm raising a child.
That too. And I'm really not working that much. And yeah. that's totally okay.
Yeah.
Of course, I get FOMO sometimes. Of course, I'm like, yeah. I'll look online and be like, oh man, this person is doing this and that and yeah. blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't affect me as much as it used to.
I want to get into like protecting your work.
Yeah.
What? Have you ever been fucked?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me about the scenario without naming names?
God, there's so many times I've been fucked.
Really?
As an artist? Yeah, of course. This is a thing that happens constantly.
And I want to talk about it.
I mean, there's definitely people have plagiarized my work from big companies to small companies, you
really?
Know? Yeah.
Like, super obviously?
There's this huge European company that is... as just as big as Target that stole an artwork from me and put it on their swimsuits.
What?
Yeah. That happened last year.
What did you
I like? Honestly was pregnant. I didn't really care.
Okay.
But in the past I've sued people.
Really?
Which is awesome. I sued this woman in California that took a piece of my art and put it on a bunch of her shirts for her company, and I saw on Leah Michelle, that celebrity girl from Glee.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, what the hell?
It was literally your art.
Yeah.
On someone's shirt that they
were
selling.
And then I sued her. It was great.
Did you like, was she like, sorry? Or
no. She was through a lawyer. I just got a lawyer. This is like back in 2012.
Jeez.
It was a pretty interesting experience.
You win?
To say the least. Yeah, of course. But it wasn't like a huge settlement.
Yeah.
But it was still like the fact that I did something about that.
Yeah.
But for any time my work or anyone's work gets plagiarized, like it's too much. Like at some point you're just like, I don't have the energy for this, unfortunately. Like I wish there were more of a protection on people's like rights.
Yeah.
And property, but yeah. There really isn't, especially in the illustration visual art world, because you have to prove, there's so many things you have to prove. And the reason why I won very easily in this case, it was because this woman had reached out to me asking for this work. So
oh
I had
God,
that on paper.
Did it anyway?
Yeah, and did it anyway. Wow, but if karma. That didn't happen, it probably would have been a longer thing, because to say, hey, this is my visual work, you have to prove all these things that, even though it was basically that, you, there's all these questions like, oh, is this inspired by it? It could be just inspired by it.
Right.
Or it could just be, you know, the colors are similar. Like, how do you prove that?
Right, right, right.
And that's...
You're like, because she really asked me and I said no.
And that was what basically made the whole thing a lot easier.
Yeah.
But I'll have situations, I mean, even if it's not being plagiarized, it's like people I work with or clients I work with saying that they'll do something with my work and then taking it and doing a lot of different things with it. That's not in contract.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go after them about that too. Or they will say verbally to you, this is what I'm going to do with your work. And on the contract, they'll hide all these things saying that they'll own your work. So as a visual artist, you don't want your work to be owned by anybody.
You just want to license it.
You want to license it. Yeah. Exactly. Because they could take that work if they own it to do anything they want. And that happened to me last summer with a client that I had a bad feeling about just did it anyway because I was just kind of like in this zone.
Yeah.
And I saw what they did to my work afterwards. And honestly, I'm still kind of like salty about it because it's seeing that in that context and just like used as this disposable thing was not the best, you know, like it wasn't, there's no respect. I think it's about just respect and there wasn't any of that.
Right. Was it like a very personal piece?
No, it was someone, they came and they hired me for these pieces, but they took them out of the context of the pieces. And I think when you do that, it changes the entire meaning of what you're being hired for.
Right.
Right. And as a client, yes, they hire you, but I think that you should look at them as collaborators. You're not looking at them as people that just pay you.
Right.
And if that's your relationship, I personally don't prefer relationships that are like that, that transactional. I don't like transactional relationships in any sense,
same,
you know? So
same.
When it comes to my work, especially.
When did you figure out that you were like not down with transactional relationships?
Probably last year.
Last year?
Yeah.
Around that time?
It took a long time. Because I think, like, you know, we are all independent artists. We're people working for ourselves. And, like, when money is something you need, you start to look over your own value in some ways and can't blame that.
People don't even understand what their own values are.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
You don't. Like, there's not, like, a certificate you get, like, in a
hey, nice
like
to meet you. Here's my
corporate
value.
Job, right? You don't get, you know, promoted.
Right.
Right? Like, you don't get
You're
any
like, hey,
of
am I getting
things.
A bonus?
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully you got to pay rent.
Exactly. And it's interesting how our lives are becoming more and more towards that direction.
It is, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like the DIY, like workforce?
Yeah.
It's like 40%.
Working for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, that's why WeWork is in business and doing so well.
True.
Like, think about all these companies that are doing all these
co-working
spaces that are, like, killing it. Because more and more people want that freedom.
Yeah.
But is it freedom? Are we actually free? Just saying.
I don't know. Are we?
No.
What is freedom?
But that's okay. I chose this life, right? Like, if I want to be free and go in the woods and, like, be a hermit, I could do that. But I don't want that. So I chose to do this.
So you just go on the weekends.
Yeah, but I do think that being able to work for yourself and have your own time and everything is much more fulfilling of a life than, you know, working and doing stuff for in a job that you don't really care about.
I'm like over here shaking my head. Yes.
Yeah.
So how did you get to like the mental state where you were like, okay, Shauna, you can fucking do this. Let's go forward. Like, how did you get over? Because I feel like that's kind of a mental hurdle for a lot of people.
To what? To like
to transition into a full time whatever your passion is, and to like make a living doing that, and being confident that that's possible. Of course, like not everything will always work out, but like, how do you mentally prepare yourself for that?
To be honest, I had savings.
That's a good.
That's deep honesty.
Yeah.
I was a very smart 20 something.
Savings
and I saved
for like
a lot of money.
A savings for like a year?
Yeah. I was able to do that because I didn't know what I was preparing for.
That's awesome.
And so my mom taught me to save at a really young age. And I was like, why the fuck would you do that? And now I thank my mom for giving me that sort of stability because, to be honest, without financial stability, why would you quit your job? There's no point. Like, you need to have that stable lifestyle before you can actually take the plunge, you know?
Right.
So I think having savings was what really helped me in the very beginning. And now it's like, now it's turned into more mental, like trusting yourself.
Yeah.
Because I think when you're working out for yourself or working with a small team of people, there's a lot of like shit that you have to deal with. Whereas before in an office setting, you're kind of removed from your work. I mean, it is something that you do from 9 to 5, but it's not who you are. Like your passion is you.
Right.
So it's confusing.
Yeah.
You're fusing your work self and yourself. Whereas when I was working in an office, it was definitely a separation.
Right.
And so
that's kind of nice though. I feel like sometimes
I do miss that part.
I know about that.
I
one.
Really
it
do.
It's kind of nice.
I miss that separation a lot.
Yeah.
And because now it's like, what do I stand behind? Like, if I fuck up, it's all me. Like, I can't do anything. I can't blame anybody. You know, it's like all me.
Yeah.
All the toxicity is on me. Mm. You know, like all the politics is all me. Everything is just me. And so having that sort of responsibility, it's more fun to share with someone else about it. And I do miss that about working in an office.
Yeah.
But I do.
It's hard sometimes when you're by yourself.
Yeah. But I think like having trust for your work and trust for yourself isn't really, you know, going off of that, I know it sounds really cliche, but it's definitely something that I have to keep on reminding myself over and over again still. Like trust in the process.
Yeah.
Of course there's days when I'm like, oh, I want to work at an office and get full-time health and benefits and like paid vacation days and like, you know, all these perks and stuff like that. Yeah. Of course there's days where I feel that way.
Yeah. So then you go treat yourself.
Yeah, exactly. it's just, there's perks on both ends.
Yeah.
It just depends on what you think matters more.
Yeah.
Is it freedom or is it, you know, great healthcare? Pick one.
That's fucked up. That's so fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, I pay over $600 a month for fucking healthcare.
And
that's just
base and base.
That's like the base. I'm sure you guys with the child, like.
It's dumb.
This is insane. That's not even with like dental and vision. What?
Yeah.
It's like $1,000 a month.
It's so dumb.
What the fuck?
So I'm it's so like, mad. Right? So there's perks of working in an office too. Yeah. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You just, I think for me though, I value my time a lot more. Right now I do.
Yeah.
And thankfully I'm healthy. So
yes.
I could value my time. Yeah, I do feel more motivated to, you know, start something that is not just with my passion though now.
Yeah.
Doing something that's outside of my passion as an artist and utilizing the same skill sets, but creating something that's a little bit more removed from me.
Like what?
I don't know yet.
Yeah.
Just some sort of thing that isn't, it's like a service or a product that's removed from what I really enjoy doing, because fusing the two sometimes gets confusing.
Totally.
And you become so sucked into your identity and it fucks with you sometimes, and I want to separate from that a little bit.
Yeah. But what kind of service or product?
I don't know yet. There's a lot. I think there's a lot to be said, like, you know, something that's close to me, whether that's like being a mother.
Yeah.
You know, I can't make work that isn't true to my life.
Yeah.
So I always think it's interesting how business people, I'm like looking at people who started baby brands that don't have babies. And that to me is like, yeah. Wow, you guys went to business school.
Yeah.
So you know this is a good market, but what does this mean to you?
Right.
And so I'm definitely like looking at that type of like route in my world. But I don't know what that is yet. I'm just going to have it come to me naturally. I don't want it to be forced about it.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, it might be too free-spirited in the business world. I don't know. We'll see.
No, I could definitely see like another lane for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's important to have multiple lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been about that too. I think that when you are cornered, I hate being cornered to anything. And I think that's my issue with my work the past few years, because I started getting cornered into this like specific style, specific like,
what's it called? What would people call it? They were like, I want the Shauna X style.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have your own genre?
I guess. And it's like people can tell that's my work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's
but
pretty distinct.
I'm also like growing as a person. So personally, that work might not speak to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have people come to me, you know, asking for work I did 2 years ago. I'm like, I can't do that anymore. I'm sorry. That's not how I've grown past that aesthetic.
Yeah.
And for someone that grows and enjoys growing, it's hard to be kept in one space.
Yeah, totally.
But then that's what the world knows you for. And I think that's the issue with a lot of people. Creatives, everybody.
Yeah,
you know?
you get not pigeonholed, but I mean, it's like sociology. Like, we are, as humans, like drawn to box and categorize things so we can make sense of them.
Exactly.
Like, that's how we roll.
Yeah.
But it does become limiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, or you can just separate a little bit, and that's what I'm learning how to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tight. That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's what's up. So how do you like bring your ideas to life? Like, do you have like I don't want to say your process, but like, for instance, like I know you told me you were glass blowing.
Yeah.
And then now you're working on some kind of like other wood thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to.
Yeah.
For me to bring ideas into life, it's contemplating a lot about the idea and trying to extract emotions from them.
What
I think
mean?
Emotion from anything is important for me to pinpoint.
Mm.
So if it's like I don't know, you can talk about any topic and there's an emotional like response to it. Doesn't matter what it is. Health insurance, for instance, or like the politics, or being a mom, or being single. Like anything has an emotional response.
Yeah.
And for me, if I'm able to understand that emotional response, I can visualize it. So I think I mentally am really efficient at mental visualization through meditation or just through practice of like any topic or any concept that I am talking about with somebody. And once I am able to visualize something, that's very easy. I think I can just take that and go directly to, you know, the drawing board or the computer or anything and just bang it out.
Yeah.
And that's usually me on a good day.
That's tight.
Yeah.
So you just literally bang it out.
Yeah. On a good day.
On a good day.
Yeah. I think there's many days I like to explore. The exploration phase is something that it's part of my process every day. Whereas I have no agenda. You're just on, you know, in the zone, just making work, whether that's, you know, something that you don't really like and you just feel like doing, or it's like fucking with color, or just fucking with like the concept of what you're making and just constantly reiterating. I think that's something that's a big part of my process as well.
Yeah.
And because of that practice, I'm able to, when I have an assignment or when I have like a project I'm working on, whether it's self-initiated or a client project, I'm able to tap into that part of my brain.
Mm.
But it's because I'm constantly exploring visuals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your like muscle is strong.
Yeah.
So do you
practice?
Yeah. I mean, practice, I feel like we don't do that as much as we used to, or
yeah.
I don't
yeah. know. And being okay with failing
yeah.
on, like, not making the best work, making shitty work, I'm totally okay with that. Like,
yeah.
that's why I do glass blowing, because the stuff I'm making, some of them is great, some of them looks like shit. I spent 3 hours last Sunday, like, making this tiny, like, little, I don't know what it is. It's like a ball, has a hole in it. And I fucked up, like,
is it a donut?
Four times. And yeah, like, I think that's the whole thing, is you're just trying yeah. to explore these different muscle groups that you have
totally.
And, like, making, not having expectation.
Yeah. When you're, like, working at home, do you have, like, a setup or, like, a vibe that you need to, like, get things going?
I used to. These days, not as much because of Ren.
Yeah.
She also holds me from totally being absorbed into my work.
Yeah.
So when I do have that time, it's like, yes, I have that time to, like, screw around. And
yeah.
it's fun.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I used to have a setup that's, like, you know, have a coffee next to me, a tea next to me. I always have to have my beverages next to me.
Okay.
And then just comfortable, and, like, either I have, like, good music on. It's
yeah.
very simple. It doesn't have to be,
yeah.
like, in
like
this
candle,
beautiful space or anything.
A candle?
I
or
don't.
Like,
but that's smart. I want to start practicing with how, you know, smells and color and light
yeah.
affects my work, too.
One of my, like, splurges is, like, a nice candle at my writing desk.
Ooh, I should think about
like,
that.
Like, one of the fancy ones. Like, I always get a new one.
That's really nice.
I'm like, every time I put it on, I'm like, it's time to write.
That's really nice.
Yeah. Although
yeah.
it doesn't always happen like that.
Yeah, it's hard.
So.
It's hard to get into these things, especially if they're self-initiated things.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, what about, like, wait, like, what? Sorry.
Self-initiated
yeah.
projects. It's hard to, like, dive into it and like motivate yourself through the whole step of the way. I'm very impressed by people who do that constantly.
Yeah. What about, like, drugs?
Love drugs.
Have you created art on drugs?
No, actually. I admired my art on drugs.
What was that like?
Amazing. I don't appreciate my work usually. I know I
Aww.
Should. That's just kind of my process, is I like to just let it out.
Yep.
Appreciate it years down the line.
Yeah.
But whenever I'm on any sort of stimulation, I will go to, like, I think actually when I go look at my work on a stimulation, I feel really, like, excited by it, and
mm-hmm.
I know I'm on the right path.
Oh,
I don't
cool.
like to make work, though, when
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
on it, because I think that's a lot of I expect a lot out of that creation for some reason.
Huh.
Which I shouldn't.
That's interesting.
It's like opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally opposite.
I much prefer, like, a human connection when I
yeah.
am on any sort of psychedelic or anything like that.
Yeah.
I prefer, like, music. I prefer dancing. I prefer, like, physical interaction.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
So, but it could change. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
So the last thing I wanted to talk about is, like, we talked a little bit about it, but, like, mental health.
Yeah.
It's such a taboo, like, saying. But what is mental health for you?
Mental health, like, what is my state of mental health, or what does it mean
what
to
is it,
me?
Yeah, what does it mean? And then also, if you want to talk about your state.
I think mental health, it's kind of like your body, your physical health. It's all connected. I'm realizing that your mind, body, and spirit, it's all intertwined completely. You don't recognize it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're more focused on your mental stimulation versus your physical stimulation. But it's all in one, like, all in one balance, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And mental health to me is something that you have to keep on. You know, it's like you exercise because
yes.
you want to stay fit. You want
yes.
to stay active, and you want to live longer. You eat good food because you want to have a better experience.
Mm-hmm.
Physical experience is the same with your mind.
Yeah.
You want to keep on exercising your thoughts, your behaviors, understanding and pinpointing when you are going on a negative path,
mm-hmm.
when your brain is firing off, like, a series of thoughts that don't really keep on, like, pushing you to the hellway or
yeah.
to the highway to hell.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
basically understanding where that comes from and rerouting that. And that's something I constantly do every day, rerouting my mind.
Out of the highway of hell?
Yes. Not just the highway of hell. It's like realizing that so many of my concepts and my beliefs are shaped by society and shaped by what I thought, you know, was needed of me, but it's actually not. It's you are so individualistic. You're the same. We're all in the human experience, but you are uniquely you.
Sure.
And, you know, a concept like success or a concept like love, right, or loneliness is totally different for you than for the next person. But society and movies and media like projects like a very generic statement for everything.
Yep.
And so rerouting what that means is actually one of the best things I've ever done for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like rerouting, like, for example, like being rich, you know, that's something that like I've always wanted to be when I was a child. Like, I want to make a lot of money and be really fucking rich. And I still do. But at the same time, it's like, why is that something that I really want as a kid? Was it because someone told me that was a good life to be?
Probably.
Right?
It's because and so, everything around you says that.
And understanding, like, why do I want that?
Right.
Is like, oh, maybe I actually don't want that.
Yeah.
Maybe, yes, money is great. Yeah. But maybe I wanted something, like a feeling from that.
Right.
That you can achieve somewhere else.
Yep.
Without trying to, like, kill yourself over.
What kind of, like, mental models did you have around money that have changed?
It was like, obviously, as an immigrant, you know, especially my parents were immigrants, like they didn't have a lot, so they wanted their kids to have so much, so they pushed you to go to the best schools and, you know, do the best, go be a lawyer, doctor, make money, be stable. And so that's a very, I would say, like, kind of superficial way of looking at it. And when it comes to money, it's like money is the most, it's like stability to a lot of people. Like, without money, you don't have the freedom to do a lot.
Sure.
You know, you're very much tied to what makes you money.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it comes to us, I mean, I'm in the place where I'm lucky enough to have to made money in the past to survive in New York from the money I've made.
Yeah.
And so, like, understanding, oh, I'm actually in a completely different place than where my parents were.
Right, right.
And, like, understanding, like, why do I want more money? Is it because, like, you know, is it because something, like, Crazy Rich Asians came out and makes me want to go on Singapore in a private jet? Like, why do I want that? Is it, why is it that society makes us want these desires of things that don't actually, it will temporarily make you happy.
Transactional.
Obviously. It's all transactional.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of rewiring what that means to me. I had a deep attachment to it because my parents had an attachment to it.
Yeah.
And so did my grandparents. I think money is a curse in my family line. I really do. And I think it's up to me to break that curse and that, like, unhealthy attachment to money.
Mm. I mean, yeah. I think that's common for a lot of Americans.
Yeah.
I mean, that's common for a lot of people. That's why, like, luxury is, like, a category.
Yeah.
It's, like, ridiculous. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, I do love my nice things.
Right. I mean, I just walked by a store, The Real Real.
Yeah.
The slogan was, like, we all like nice things. Like,
really?
Yeah. And it's, like, we all like things that last long. So when you think about luxury items, it's, like, oh, it's not only nice.
Right.
It gives you character and, you know, it gives you status and it lasts long.
So
these are things that we are being marketed about, you know, like, why is a name brand something that gives us more feeling, like, more, like, self-worth than yourself?
That's a great question.
Yeah. So those are things I'm thinking about a lot.
Why does a brand name give you more self-worth than yourself?
Yeah. Like, why do you need to have to have that? And of course, like, I enjoy these things. I'm not against it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, interesting, we place so much, like, significance in these things, in money, when money can get us.
Yeah.
And not so much in relationships.
Yeah.
You know, like, in what you have with others.
Totally.
Your family.
Yeah.
Teachers. I don't know. Things that I think actually will give you more richness.
Yeah. I also think that, like, with money, there's that feeling of stability.
Yeah.
But, like, say if you're in a place where you don't have a lot of money, but you want to, like, manifest or, like, you know, bring more money into your life.
Right.
I think that you can bring things into your life that do give you those same feelings, right? Like,
yeah, that, for sure.
Something else. What? Okay, fine. Like, getting a consistent paycheck makes you feel stable. Like, what is it? What are those components and how can you, like, bring that into your life?
Yeah.
So that's not, like, a limiting thing.
Yeah. And making decisions that are comes from a place of trust. And, like, cliche as it sounds, love. you know, rather than insecurity. Rather than insecurity, because a lot of people make decisions based on, like, oh, shit, I won't have this type of lifestyle.
Like a deficit mindset.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm making this decision because I don't have this.
Yeah.
What?
Or you focus on what you don't have.
Yeah.
And I think that's something I've noticed coming back to, I mean, going, we went on a tangent, but, like, going back to the whole thing where what I've changed about my concepts is realizing I've focused so much on what I don't have and what I lack.
Yeah.
And trying to change that mindset too. Because I think that is something we all do constantly. And we don't even recognize we're doing it to ourselves.
So how do you change it?
Being like, wow, I'm focusing on what I don't have rather than what actually happened. Like, I would do this thing after every show I've had. I've had a show maybe once a year, like a big show once a year until this year, which I don't think I'm going to wait. But every show I've had, I've always had to be really drunk at because I was just too, like, there's too much emotion put into these shows I've done, like very personal installations or like personal work. And I would be wasted.
Really?
And then afterwards, I would always feel really depressed. It's because you work so hard to get to that point.
Yep.
And then you start focusing on, like, oh, what do I do now? Oh, who didn't show up? Oh, like, did that that person that you wanted to come, do they like the piece? Like, you start thinking about all these, like, negative things that doesn't really help.
Getting really critical.
And it was not until last year, after my show at ADO, when I had the same experience, I immediately felt a lot of negativity. Like, oh, this person I, you know, didn't come, or, like, did they even like this piece? Did this resonate with them? Like, all these, like, things that we just kind of go through in our head.
Yeah.
And I realized it's because I was focused. Why am I not focusing on the people that were there? Like, why? You know what I mean? It's like, why am I not focused on the work that did, like, present itself?
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Why wasn't I not focusing on the night and how successful it was?
Right.
Why was I only focusing on the things that didn't happen? Like, why? What's the point of that? And I think we all do that constantly.
So how'd you get yourself out of the highway of hell? Just, like, thinking.
Seriously, like, constant practice.
Being aware of it?
Constant practice.
Practice.
Being, like, aware of it.
What kind? Like, I'm just...
Like, exercise, right?
Exercise.
Exercise, like, mental exercise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you have, like, mental exercises?
Yeah, like, when I start feeling negative, I start thinking about the root of where that negativity comes from.
Mm.
And whether that's, like, comes from a place of insecurity. So whether it's because I don't have something, I wish I had it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it comes from an actual place where I've done something, like, I didn't put my best into a work. Or, like, I was being lazy or I was being unfair. Like, if you kind of look at it in that way, like, how much you're putting into it. And just think about the root of where it comes
just
from.
Just, like, the facts.
You understand, like, oh, where is this coming from? Is this actually a thing that, you know, is a negative thing that you're putting yourself through? Is this actually something that you care about? I don't know. There's just a lot of ways you can think about when you have thought process that goes through. So when it's a positive thought too, you can be like, why is this positive? Is it because I'm getting attention? Is it because I actually am proud of this work? You know, so just deciphering what everything that goes through mind is. And maybe that's a lot for some people, but
well, everyone has, like, different process. I don't know, for me, like, my daily gratitudes are, like, really helpful.
That's awesome.
That gets, it's the same, it's literally the same concept as what you're talking about. It's like thinking about all the things that you have. Starting a day like that.
And as we get older too, like, I think we become a little wiser. My friends, for example, my friend's dad I grew up with just passed away last week. And I think about, you know, having, and one of the things that she talked about was, I just can't believe I won't see his face anymore. Whereas I took that for granted before. And I think that's the same that goes with anyone that's lost anybody, that they not necessarily take them for granted, but just didn't think about the fact that that's a temporary experience with that person. And I think you can kind of take that same concept into your life as well, is that everything is temporary. And so that is easier for you to have a better mental health about things.
Totally.
And just a more, like, holistic perspective, I think.
Well, that's tight. I'm in.
Oh,
Hey, don't forget to subscribe to Current Mood on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify and Anchor and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Also, join us on Instagram for some super cool visuals at currentmood.io. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And if you really feel like reaching out, send a message. Tell us what you are feeling, please. Thanks so much.